All right, here we go. Hi, everybody. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And I remember learning in Radio Broadcasting 101 that you're not supposed to refer to the listener as everybody, but here on WIF, we throw all the rules of broadcasting out the window, everybody. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. 749-1444 is the phone number. We're talking about dinosaurs tonight, and we're going to be talking to Dr. Glenn Storrs of the Cincinnati History Museum, Natural History Museum, down there at the Museum Center. Dr. Storrs just got back from a trip to Nevada in which he was documenting the discovery of 210 million year old bones of dinosaurs that have never before been found. He comes back last week, pulls in his truck down at his, he's got a place down in Covington, you know, that's where he lives with his nice family. And overnight, the first night he's back, a bunch of thieves broke into his trailer and took his camping gear, a tent, a can of gasoline, some bags of clothes, and a utility belt that had his brand new canteen, and they took his compass. They also took a notebook, which was tucked into a map case.
Dr. Storrs, you just came back from Nevada, so I have one question for you.
That's right, yes.
Blackjack or craps?
I tried to avoid all those things, really. $2 of a slot machine is about all I lost.
Okay, so your notebook was taken when you came back to Covington, and also some camping gear. And what was in this notebook? Why is it special? If it's notebook, it's 79 cents. Who cares? Go buy a new one.
Yeah, it's just a little notebook, but in it is recorded all the information on where these fossils exactly came. What sort of elevations, what sort of map references.
Now, are you sure that you really lost this notebook and you just didn't gamble it away while you were in Nevada, and now you're just saying it's lost to cover it up?
I'm certain of that. As you say, it wouldn't be worth anything to anyone else.
Okay, so our goal here is maybe one of our listeners either is the guy that broke into your van or knows somebody who broke into your truck and took your notebook. And if I recall, you said they can keep the tent, they can keep the sleeping bag, they can even keep your canteen, but you want the notebook back.
Yeah, we're not too much interested in the camping gear. That's, of course, all replaceable. But the notebook is unique and, as I say, not of use to anyone else, but it's really important to the work that we do at the museum and ultimately to the community because these are specimens that will go on exhibit, and people of Cincinnati and the general area will have a chance to see some really exciting things. Without this notebook, that work will be delayed.
So Glenn Storrs, what kind of notebook was it?
It was a small orange hardbound book, about 5.5 by 7 inches. Just handwritten notes in pen and pencil inside. My name is on the inside front cover. It has an embossed emblem on the outside cover, K&E Field Notebook, it says. And if anybody sees it, we'd really appreciate getting it back.
So if somebody comes into a pawn shop and they got an armload, they've got like a, you know, a can of gas in one hand and a new utility belt with the bat repellent and the bat sleeping gas.
And the canteen.
And the new canteen on it. You should ask them, hey, do you have an orange notebook with the name Glenn Storrs, paleontologist at large, written on the inside?
Pretty much, that's right, yeah.
Now, you were in Nevada studying dinosaur bones. What kind of dinosaurs did you find out there?
Well, not actually dinosaurs, but contemporaries of the dinosaurs, some giant marine reptiles, things called ichthyosaurs and plesiosaurs.
What's an ichthyosaur?
Ichthyosaurs, it's fish reptiles. They're convergent with whales and sharks.
Isn't that what the Loch Ness Monster is?
The Loch Ness Monster is something that is supposed to be a plesiosaur. Yeah, and we found some things similar to that, I guess, if there is such a thing.
So you're saying that way back in the olden days, back before Wild Bill Cody, back before Bugsy Moran or whoever it was made in Nevada, that was water out there?
Exactly right. As you say, 210 million years ago, that was tropical sea, shallow tropical sea equatorial region. So a lot of interesting animals living there at the time, and we were lucky enough to find some really good new fossils of these things.
Wait, you're saying because of the continental shift that Nevada used to be down where, like, Bermuda is now?
Yeah,
wow.
Down near the equator, that's right, and it was the coast of the continent. California didn't even exist. It's been sutured on piecemeal by the movement of the continental plates.
And that's the worst thing this country ever did, suture on California.
They may suture it off before too long as well.
We're talking to Glenn Storrs, the paleontologist down at the Museum Center at the big old train station that they got that big movie in downtown. Why does the city of Cincinnati employ a paleontologist? I mean, did we used to have dinosaurs around here, too?
We did, but the dinosaurs are not preserved in this region because the rocks are of the wrong age. The type of rocks that were here when the dinosaurs existed have not been preserved in the region. So that's why we have to go out to Nevada. But Cincinnati has a long tradition of paleontology. Some of the earliest paleontologists of last century were trained in Cincinnati because of the excellent exposures of rocks and fossils in this region. And the museum actually has an extensive fossil vertebrate collection, so naturally we need someone to work on it and to conserve it.
Are you the only paleontologist here in Cincinnati at the museum, or are there a whole bunch of you guys?
Well, there are two of us at the museum. There's an invertebrate paleontologist, Dr. Nigel Hughes, who specializes in shelled organisms, the things that we find in Cincinnati.
Do you guys ever like get in spitball fights and stuff and say, "Vertebrates rule"? No way, dude, invertebrates rule.
Not generally, but I suppose we do have our own preferences for our favorite animals. There are a lot of other paleontologists in Cincinnati, though, as a matter of fact. There are several at the university, and some of the other area colleges have paleontologists employed.
Now, I live in Norwood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though we don't have a lot of fossil record left, I'm sure you scientists, paleontologist guys know a lot more about dinosaurs than I do. A few million years ago, what kind of dinosaurs lived in Norwood?
Well, again, as I say, we don't exactly know what was here because the rocks are not preserved that contain dinosaurs.
Okay, here's my next question.
Wait, we don't even have a guess?
No, we can only say probably animals similar to what we find in other parts of the world.
Well, whatever kind of dinosaurs they had in Norwood, they probably made a damn good truck.
Is that right?
Yeah, down at the old GM plant. Give me that. I have two questions for you.
Sure.
One, whenever I took a class in school, like biology, they'd always say, bio, life, ology, study of. What does paleontology mean?
Paleontology is a study of ancient life, actually.
Ah.
Paleos is ancient, and ontos is study of, essentially. So
here's, okay, thank you. Life. And now, how many Far Side comics do you have hanging in your office or right outside your office on a corkboard?
Probably two or three. People keep passing them on to me. And I get a great kick out of them, naturally.
Dr. Glenn Storrs, paleontologist here in Cincinnati. What's your favorite dinosaur and why?
My favorite dinosaur and why? Good gosh. I'm not sure anyone's ever asked me that before.
Well, I could rephrase it if you want. You know, in the Chris and Rob tradition, if you could be any kind of dinosaur in the history of dinosaurs, what dinosaur would you like to be?
The Chris and Rob tradition, huh? Well, I don't know, some giant predator probably.
You mean like a T-Rex?
Something like that, so that nobody would steal my notebook.
Or maybe that really quick little, that raptor thing they had in that movie.
Yeah, the Dromaeosaurus, sure, yeah.
So what did you think of that Jurassic Park movie anyway? Was it pretty well put together from a paleontology point of view?
Well, there were some things that were very good about it, and it was certainly the best representation of dinosaurs ever in film. They were really
even before
special effects.
Even better than Land Before Time?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
What about Land of the Lost?
Better than anything, I'd venture to say. But the problem with that movie was that there were some scientific inaccuracies, and as far as a story, I didn't care for it that much.
Well, the story was idiotic.
Yeah, looking forward to the sequel, though.
What about Laura Dern?
Paleobotanist, never met one like her.
Don't you wish?
Well, my wife's in the room. I won't comment.
So I understand now that instead of the T-Rex being this almost upright tail dragon behemoth lumbering through the jungle, stepping on trees, pushing the elephants out of the way, scaring all the people, stepping on this cat, squishing the cattle between her toes, that now that you're saying that the T-Rex was like stood up and his body and tail was parallel to the ground and he could run at a pretty fast pace and he didn't just lumber after slow moving food, but he could actually use some sort of Rob like quickness to capture prey.
You mean Rob like you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You mean Barry Larkin like quickness.
Okay, whatever.
You're really not that fast, buddy.
Yeah, well, we do know that the posture of Tyrannosaurus and other theropod dinosaurs was different than has traditionally been portrayed. Certainly they did hold their body more or less parallel to the ground, and they used the tail as a counterbalance to hold that large weight of the torso and head. They certainly weren't as fast as they were portrayed in Jurassic Park. We can tell that from skeletal anatomy, but they were probably relatively agile, not the lumbering things that have been traditionally portrayed, as they say. So new ideas about dinosaurs all the time. It's an exciting period in the study of dinosaurs and paleontology because there are a lot of new ideas coming out, a lot of new evidence to support these ideas, and in fact, more dinosaur species have been named in the last 20 years happen in the whole history of the science. So,
I know what you're talking about, because when Rob and I were little kids in grade school and we had dinosaur class, they were telling us that dinosaurs were the great lizards. But nowadays, everybody's saying that dinosaurs were actually the great birds, like birds that couldn't fly yet. How do you stand on all that?
Oh, that's certainly the case, I think. They are, I like to refer to them as non-avian dinosaurs. Birds with us today are essentially small feathered dinosaurs. Most paleontologists, virtually all paleontologists, now subscribe to that idea.
I bet the drumsticks back then were really good.
Well, they were large, I guess.
Now, I understand that some scientists have a debate over what the arms of the T-Rex are used for, and I'd like to tell you, if I may, so at the next conference, perhaps you could write a paper, present this paper, win an award, and get a big grant for the museum center where you're the paleontologist.
Sure, go ahead.
Are you ready for my idea, Glenn?
I'm ready. I got a pencil handy.
Okay, the reason why Tyrannosaurus Rex had arms, now they were too small to actually, you know, catch food with. They were too small and to fight off enemies with. They were basically just kind of stuck there, and you scientists don't know why they had them, and I'll tell you why.
All right.
So they could scratch their stomach.
Well, that's a good use for arms, I suppose.
Could you imagine
that's
having...
That's what Rob uses his arms for.
Could you imagine having an itch and not and you never can get to it? Not just like every once in a while when you get an itch in that one certain spot on your back and you can't reach it. But your stomach itches and you can never in your whole life ever scratch it.
Tough.
Your species wouldn't last very long then, would it?
You'd go insane.
That's right. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're talking to paleontologist Glenn Storrs, Dr. Storrs, of the Cincinnati Museum Center. This guy knows everything about dinosaurs that ever was.
It's time for the hard questions, Glenn Storrs.
Uh-oh.
Right, uh-oh.
Okay, I told someone who I was interviewing tonight on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and that person said to me, well, this scientist guy has to be the only scientist in North America who doesn't have all his information on computer disk. And I said, I'm going to ask him about that. So I'm asking you about that now. Why did you have this on pen and paper? Don't you have a power book?
Then your lost notebook wouldn't be such a loss.
I've got a power book, but I can't take it out to the deserts of Nevada. I don't have any solar-powered cells to run it, I'm afraid. So.
And you had just gotten home, and you hadn't translated that stuff into computer jargon yet.
I'd only just got home, that's right.
Okay, so describe this notebook one more time in case the thief at large is tuned into the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Okay, it's a small orange notebook. It's hardbound. It's about 5.5 inches by 7 inches, maybe a half inch thick. And it's would have been just a blank book until it had been filled with handwritten notes, some in pen, but mostly in pencil.
Notes that you took about all the dinosaur bones you found.
That's right. That's right.
And your truck was located down there in Covington on Lewis Avenue, right?
Lewis Street.
Lewis Street. So if somebody was breaking into cars about a week ago on Lewis Street down in Covington, you're the boy we're looking for. Now, you got a reward for this or anything?
Yeah, there is a reward. If somebody finds that book, under whatever circumstances, please let us know at the museum.
And how do they get in touch with you if they got your notebook and just realized it?
Well, they can call the museum at 345-8508 or 345-8507 and leave a message or speak to someone in person. Say they've got this thing and
now,
like to
let's say this person is a real-life thief and they're afraid they're going to get caught. Is there an anonymous way they could, like, get this thing found? Could they just drop it in a mailbox or something?
Sure. They'd have to put it in an envelope, I think.
Put it in an envelope and write Dr. Storrs Museum Center on it, and it'll get to you.
That's right.
Okay.
I have one more hard question for you.
Okay.
One of the weekly newspapers here in town really kind of ripped the Cincinnati Museum Center, where you're the paleontologist, for having a big display about Star Trek.
Yeah.
What do you feel about museum centers having these sort of pop culture type displays to attract more customers? Is that a bastardization of your purpose, or is it more fun for the people?
Well, I don't think it's really something that I'm qualified to comment on, it really, being the paleontologist.
Everybody's qualified to talk about Star Trek.
This is the 90s, Mr. Storrs. Oh, everybody's qualified to talk about everything.
Yeah, we all like Star Trek, but, you know, I didn't have any problem with it, and I think the museum did well for a part of the community that doesn't normally come to the museum, so, you know, I don't have any real problem with it.
Dr. Storrs, you work at the Museum Center. What do you think of the In the Dark exhibit? You can surround yourself with the sights, sounds, smells, and sensations of some of the world's dark ecosystems.
Yeah, quite honestly, I haven't seen it yet, so.
That sounds too scary for me.
Surely not qualified to comment on that.
What are dark ecosystems?
Well, they're bottom of the ocean is one place. Caves is another. Soils, these types of things.
My kitchen is a dark ecosystem.
Yeah, many places, probably.
So is your mom. All right. Well, paleontologist Glenn Storrs from the Cincinnati Museum Center, we sure appreciate you coming on to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Mm-hmm, my pleasure.
Thank and if somebody has your small orange notebook filled with diagrams and measurements that you took, they'll make sure they get it back to you, or we'll send Jim out to break their legs.
Okay.
Now, if whoever stole this notebook really likes, I'm sure you got little drawings of dinosaur bones in it. Maybe they really, really enjoy your pictures of dinosaurs that you drew in this book. Can they make a Xerox copy before they give it back?
Yeah, fine. As many copies as exist, the better, I suppose. We won't lose it again that way.
Now, when I was in school and had notebooks, I drew like Rolling Stones tongues on them and wrote things like, you're a dork, and, you know, it would draw, you know, the Beatles or something all over my notebook. Did you do that? Did I, you know, write R.E.M. or something on, you know, underneath your name or anything?
Nothing like that. I guess I was probably one of those nerd guys in school you were probably writing doodles about. So my notebook doesn't have anything like that, I'm afraid.
But did you wear a bow tie?
I still do, sure. On occasion.
Hey, you look good in one.
Thanks.
All right, well, thanks a lot.
All righty.
Good luck.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Chris and Rob, Late Night Talk Show.